Monday, May 20th, 2024. My name is Kevin Smith. Thank you all so much for tuning into Loud Majority Live. We got a jam-packed show for you guys today. All the breaking news out of the Trump trial. Massive announcements coming out about Michael Cohen. He admitted to robbing the Trump campaign on a regular basis of tens of thousands of dollars. Also, we'll get into whether or not Trump will testify. The president of Iran. The president of Iran dies in a mysterious plane crash. Whose fault is it? Who are they blaming? You're not going to be shocked by that one. You will probably won't be shocked by that one. Numerous celebrities are coming out against Joe Biden. Who is it this week? Who is it this week coming out against Joe Biden? Some of the names may shock you, as a new poll coming out from Arizona shows Trump blowing away Joe Biden in that key battleground state. Also, we got to talk about it, baby. Donald Trump is coming home. Donald Trump's coming home to New York this Thursday. Giddy up. Let's go. Rock rolling. Here we are. So excited about that. Super duper excited about that. And at the very end, I've got a very special surprise for all of you. We've seen a lot of commencement addresses over the last couple of weeks. Jerry Seinfeld at Duke, Joe Biden in Morehead College. That wasn't too special. But Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas has come out and given his own commencement address to PragerU. Of course, not a real college, but a message to all of you that I think your children ought to hear. We're going to bring you that at the end of the show today. We are rocking. We are rolling. Let's go. Oh, here we go, everybody. Guys, hit that thumbs up button. Share the video out all over the place. Let's get this Rumble chat up onto the screen. Boom. There we go. How's everybody doing? I want to thank everybody who came out this weekend. Creative Aaron, Tommy Girl, Dina, I want to thank all of you guys for coming out, helping us at the Lindenhurst Street Fair. We registered a couple dozen voters. Super excited about that. We're going to cut a video about that a little later in the day. Kevin, nice shirt. You guys can pick up this shirt at loudmajorityusa.com. That's loudmajorityusa.com. Somebody put the website in the chat. There we go. And I'll pop this up here. I'll pop it up. Oh, I can't do that. I'll pop it up in the chat. Let's see. www.loudmajorityusa.com. And you guys can use promo code SPRING to get 30% off everything on the website. That's loudmajorityusa.com. Irish, it was great to see you. You were there as well. Very nice. It was so great to see everybody coming out. Also, for our local crowd, on May 26th, we'll be doing the exact same thing at the Ronkonkoma Street Fair. At the Ronkonkoma Street Fair, we're going to be, it's street fair season. Giddy up, let's go. Giddy up, let's go. So, there is a new fam member, goes by Pissed Patriot. Oh, well, welcome to the party. If you're new in the chat, as always, welcome, 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 welcome. How's everybody doing today? Sagan, Vintage, Lulu Gal, how are you? Irish, it was good to see you. Tommy Girl, what's happening? Yeah, we had a little LFA contingent here on Long Island yesterday, and it was really exciting. Absolutely beautiful day in my hometown of Lindenhurst. Once again, next Sunday, Ronkonkoma Street Fair for more of that. Let's get rocking. Let's get rolling here, because there's some breaking news at this hour. Michael Cohen on the stand in the Trump trial admits to stealing from the Trump Organization by overcharging for reimbursements. This is wild. Let's bring this up. Former Trump attorney Michael Cohen took the stand again on Monday, revealing during cross-examination that he stole from the Trump Organization and has not been prosecuted for it. "You stole from the Trump Organization?" said Todd Blanche. "Yes." When asked if he was prosecuted for larceny or made to pay it back, Cohen said no. Here's the video of that.
Let me read for you the exchange between Todd Blanche and Michael Cohen. "So you only gave him $20,000 and you took $30,000. Blanche, you stole from the Trump Organization, right? Cohen says, yes, sir. Blanche goes on later on. He says, you did steal from the Trump Organization based upon the expected reimbursement, correct? And he says, yes, sir. So again, that is breaking it out, because essentially they walked through what it is that Michael Cohen actually paid Renfidge, and this goes back to, Jose, what you were just talking about, in this brown paper bag, all cash. He came to the Trump Organization, an individual who worked for Renfidge, to collect this payment, $20,000, in which Michael Cohen paid out to this individual. The other $30,000 Michael Cohen kept to himself. Subsequently, why? Todd Blanche is now saying, okay, so you stole from the Trump Organization, correct? And Michael Cohen says, yes, correct. I believe what during this cross we're trying to get at essentially here is even during this time in which Michael Cohen contends that he was very loyal to the Trump Organization, protecting the former president, protecting his boss at the time, a man he has worked with for so long, right, since 2007, who is seen more as a father figure even, that he would then subsequently steal from him because he felt as if he was not getting the appropriate bonus that he was due, that he was expected guy. Certainly a big exchange there, yeah. I have to say. Momentous kind of exchange between Michael Cohen, Todd Blanche. Michael Cohen says, yes, I in fact stole from the Trump Organization.
Well, I guess Michael Cohen's going back to prison. I guess Michael Cohen is going back to jail. As Congressman Gates said the other day, there is no human being on the planet that Michael Cohen has not lied to. He lied to Congress. He lied to the judge. He lied to the Trump Organization. Why wouldn't he be lying now? Now it comes out that he has stolen from the Trump team. Cohen was reportedly reimbursed $100,000 by Trump's company for the payment, according to Reuters. Quote, these are hits below the waterline for Cohen and also for prosecutors. They had a man admitting to major larceny, but never charged Cohen. That made Cohen not only their man, but allowing him to keep stolen money, said legal analyst Jonathan Turley. You lied to Alan Weisselberger about how much you needed for Red Finch. Cohen said that's correct. Cohen is the last witness to be called by the prosecution in DA Alvin Bragg's false business records case in New York. Cohen was the star witness for Bragg's team, first took the stand a week ago. So more breaking news coming out of that as the trial seems to be coming to an end. Many people have been asking whether or not Donald Trump will testify. He has said he is ready to testify. I do not believe he will testify. I don't think he's going to take the stand. Quite frankly, I think that it would be a very poor legal move to put him on the stand right now for a number of reasons. We'll get into that. Before we get to that, we've got this from the Epic Times. As the defense tries to keep prosecutors guessing, prosecutors guessing about whether Donald Trump will take the witness stand to defend himself in the criminal court in New York. The New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Marchand has instructed the parties to prepare for the upcoming weeks, assuming the testimony will not happen. Please be prepared to begin summations on Tuesday, the judge told the attorneys last Friday. So Judge Marchand has already come out and basically told the prosecutors to be ready to wrap this bad boy up tomorrow. Now, how could Judge Marchand know that? How could he know how many witnesses the defense plans to call? Unless Judge Marchand is just planning to cast every defense witness aside. Could it be Paul? What's his name? Paul Castellano? That's not his name. Paul Castellano's the mob boss. The guy who testified the other day in front of the House. Paul Costello. There you go. Costello. Paul Castellano. Sorry about that. Could it be Paul Costello? Michael Cohen's former legal aide who said that he repeatedly lied about having information on Donald Trump, saying that he would do whatever he could not to end up in prison. Could he be on the defense list? Former FEC chairman's discussing how this is not an FEC violation. On Friday, prosecutors confirmed that there were no other witnesses. Ex-lawyer Michael Cohen returned to the stand today to wrap up questioning by the defense. Before the start of the trial, President Trump had said multiple public statements that he'd be willing to testify in any of the criminal trials because he had done nothing wrong. Which, look, I don't think he did anything wrong either. However, you can ask many attorneys this. Many defense attorneys will not allow their client to testify. Doesn't really matter what the case is. Most people will not allow them to testify. But halfway through the trial, President Trump suggested he would not be allowed to testify due to his gag order, prompting the judge to clarify in court that President Trump had the absolute right to testify if he wishes. President Trump similarly clarified to the press he was allowed to testify, but has since declined to answer on whether or not he will. As I said, I don't believe he's going to, and I don't think that he should. But this is what is coming out at this current moment in time about those trials. We will keep you updated. We have friends on the ground giving us all the details in real time as it all happens. A big shout out to the friend of the show, Paul Ingracia, who is on the ground there. You got to get on that press line at like a stupid early moment of the day in order to get into that courtroom. So shout out to him for that one. We're going to move on real quick because there is a big breaking story in world politics today. And of course, that is the president of Iran, the foreign minister of Iran also, and other officials have been confirmed dead in a helicopter crash. Here was the announcement from, I think this is from Sky News.
The Iranian president's helicopter has now been found by search teams. That according to state television. A bit earlier, we heard that contact had been made with the helicopter, contact between a member of the crew and also one of the passengers on board. Well, now, in the last few moments, we have heard that the helicopter has been found. The search area is very difficult. It is dark, as you can see. It's been very foggy. It's been raining hard. It's a mountainous area. It is an area that's heavily wooded as well. But they will be pleased to know that the helicopter has been found. So it may well be in the next few minutes that we get an update on the condition of those on board. But as you've been saying, that message will be heavily censored and we will only get to hear what the regime wants us to hear.
Yes, that was from Sky News. Look, why does this matter? You guys know that I talk a lot about how we don't really care what goes on around the world, that we've got our own problems here to fix at home. However, with tensions building in the Middle East, missile fire going back and forth between Iran and Israel, one could surmise, and everyone on the planet has already done this already, that this may have been an attack from Israel into Iran. Now, I don't believe so. Sometimes helicopters crash when it's foggy outside. You guys know damn well that I am not the person who is going to go directly to the conspiratorial, who's going to go directly to the worst possible case scenario. There is no immediate cause for the crash, but the helicopter had to make a, quote, hard landing on Sunday, state media reported. Iran's Contra, and look, I'm going to try to pronounce some of these names. If you're Iranian and you're watching this, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not being rude. It's just some of these are not names. I'm sorry. Iran's controversial president, Ebrahim Raisi, and foreign minister... Nope, not even going to try that one. Not even going to try that name. And other officials were confirmed dead on Monday after the helicopter crashed in the mountainous region of the country's northeast, according to state media. The death of Raisi, nicknamed the Butcher of Tehran for his oversight of the mass executions of political prisoners in 1988, forced Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei to install interim leadership for Iran's executive branch. Now, with this, I want to be very clear. This is not the leader of Iran. The leader of Iran is Ayatollah Khomeini, the supreme leader, the religious leader. Of course, everything was different in Iran before the 1979 revolution, where, people stopped living in modernity and went back to the 8th century. Different conversation for another day. Iran has for years backed the terror group Hamas, currently engaged in the months-long war in Israel. Iranian state TV on Monday said there's no sign of life at the crash site of the helicopter carrying the 63-year-old Raisi, the 60-year-old Abdullahani, and other officials after it made a hard landing, according to state TV. The crash site was in a steep valley, according to the state media, which added that the incident happened due to technical failure. Razi was returning to Tehran on Sunday after traveling to Iran's border with Azerbaijan to celebrate the opening of a dam with Azerbaijan's president Ilham Aliyev when the crash happened in the desert of Iran's East Azerbaijan province. I want to say Azerbaijan is a beautiful country. Absolutely beautiful country. You got to see some, the peaks and valleys and the hills and the mountains. Absolutely beautiful. Now, what does this mean moving forward? Is this a consolidation of power by the Ayatollah? Apparently, the next in line is the Ayatollah's son. As the Ayatollah is in his mid-80s, is he preparing for what comes next for Iran, putting his son in place? Is this technical failure? However, Israel, why I say it like that, Israel is now saying that they had nothing to do with this, which I don't see why not. I don't see why they would have anything to do with it. With that being said, whose fault do you think Iran is blaming this on? Well, of course, they're blaming it on the United States. We'll get to that in 1 second before we do Mike Lindell.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm here to tell you about my new product from MyPillow. Towels that actually work. Watch this absorbency test. Here's another towel that we randomly went out and bought. Here's one of my towels with a nice design. I don't know if you can see this, but you could line a swimming pool with this. I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it. Towels that actually work. What a concept. I'm interrupting this commercial to let you know you can get our six-piece My Towels, regular $69.98, now only $29.98. Or you can save 25% on our brand new kitchen towels made with the same technology as our famous My Towels. Also, we have bath sheets, bath towels, washcloths, hand towels, and so much more. And the best part, with your promo code, your entire order ships absolutely free. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use that promo code to get deep discounts on all My Towels. And for a limited time, your order ships absolutely free.
Guys, head on over to MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD. That's MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD for up to 80% off everything on the website and their $25 extravaganza. So many items on MyPillow.com at $25 or less, guys. Head on over to MyPillow.com, promo code LOW. What's happening, everybody? What's happening? I met Kevin yesterday at the fair. It was really great, says Irish. Yes, it was. It was so good to meet you guys. Absolutely. Don't talk about my lumpy pillows, you assholes. That's funny as hell. That's funny as hell. Bumblebee Patriot. Are you the same Kevin Smith as Silent Bob? I did get to meet him once. I did get to meet that Kevin Smith once, and I thanked him for ruining my life. I thanked him for ruining my life because he has ruined my life by his inherent need to have the same name as me. If you guys have ever seen the movie Office Space and you know about Michael Bolton, you know exactly how I feel every day of my entire life. But let's get back to the news because, of course, whose fault is it that this airplane crashed? Of course, it's America's fault. Hello, is this your first time here? We've got this from Sky News. The former Iranian foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, says the United States is responsible for the tragedy of a major helicopter crash because, you ready for this? We prevented the sale of the aircraft and its spare parts to Iran. So, because America would not sell spare parts for a helicopter to the dictatorship of Iran, the Islamic theocracy that is Iran, it's our fault that this president died. Isn't it funny? Isn't it interesting? Isn't it something one might want to think about? You ever notice that everything bad that goes on in the Middle East is always our fault? Maybe it would be time for countries like Afghanistan and Iran and Gaza, that's not a country, it's a place, whatever. Maybe it might be time to look inward. Because everybody out there knows people that have bad things go on in their lives, and they always seem to be blaming other people. They never point the finger at themselves. Maybe, just maybe, the reason why we didn't sell you those spare parts is because you're funding terrorism all over the world. Just something to think about. Just something to think about. Of course, it's our fault that this guy died. I'm sure nothing will come of all this. And I'm sure the Iranian people will probably handle the death of their president with calmness and modesty. I'm sure they won't be out in the streets chanting things that would make your skin crawl. I'm sure they're not going to be out there blaming the Jews or blaming the West like they do every other time something bad happens to them. And I want to be clear. Do I understand why a people would be upset if their president died? Yeah, I get it. However, this guy, this president, was a huge, huge piece of shit. He was an asshole. He executed hundreds, maybe thousands, of political prisoners during an attempted uprising in Tehran in 1988. As I read to you earlier, his nickname was the Butcher of Tehran. And it wasn't because he was making good pork chops, okay? He didn't own a local pork store. He wasn't making sausage and giving them out to the poor people in his capital. No, no, no. It was because he repeatedly liked to cut people up as he oversaw the deaths of thousands. One local government official described what happened as a crash, while others described it as a hard landing and an accident. The esteemed president and the company were on their way back aboard some helicopters, and one of the helicopters was forced to make a hard landing due to bad weather and fog, Interior Minister Ahmad Rahidi said in the comments on state TV. Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khomeini later confirmed First Vice President Mohammed Makbar as the interim head of the country's legislative branch. Following the crash. The incident comes, of course, look, let's be honest here. We would all be remiss if we did not acknowledge that having your president go down in a helicopter crash in the middle of a fog storm while you're at war with a Western Western ally. All right, I could see why people would say Mossad. I could see why they would say CIA. However, sometimes helicopters go down. And until there's evidence proving the contrary, I am not going to jump to conclusions. There are some people out there who are proclaiming that this is the start of World War III. And look, I want to be clear. If anyone knows the history of World War I, that was started over the death of one person. So shall we see? Shall we see what happens? However, tensions in the Middle East continue to escalate and not de-escalate, despite what some people would say. Joe Biden, for his part, has actually adopted the ceasefire stance that his radical left has been imposing upon him for many, many months now. Why is that significant? Because if Joe Biden begins to lose his moderate left-wing flank in favor of his radical left, things are not going to go well. And Republicans continue to push Israel aid despite the president trying to walk it back. Now, there was a bill that went up in Congress over the last couple of days that would have forced Joe Biden to fund Israel. That would have forced Joe Biden to fund Israel at the risk of some of our own military. Some people are very upset about this. I am not, and here's why. Because I think from Johnson, who I have been displeased with, let's be clear, I think he is putting Joe Biden in an unwinnable position. He is making Joe Biden decide between his left and his right flank, between his left and his more moderate flank of the party. The radical left, obviously they want a ceasefire in Gaza because many of them support Hamas. But his more moderate wing, the sort of neoliberal normie Democrat, very much supports Israel. He's making Joe Biden make a decision. And when you force your opponent into making a decision, they usually end up picking the wrong one. They usually end up picking the wrong one. Now, the bill that Congress put forth, Chuck Schumer has already said, is dead on arrival in the Senate. So we don't have to worry about that becoming a law. This is some of the political gamesmanship that I think a lot of people online don't really look into. There, look, the majority of the bills, particularly in a divided Congress, that get passed, end up getting passed for messaging, not for real purposes. Is this Mike Johnson's way of trying to pull some of Joe Biden's more moderate flank to the Republican Party? Show that Joe Biden is siding with the extremist wing of his caucus. Get some of those Jewish, those culturally Jewish voters in places like Long Island, in places like North Jersey, in places like South Florida. Start to bring them in, because I want to be clear. The people who are out there protesting for Hamas, the people who are out there protesting for Palestine, they are not going to get the outcome that they want. They're not going to get it, because Benjamin Netanyahu is not. And look, and this is not an anti, this is not an anti-America first stance to take. This is a reality stance to take. Benjamin Netanyahu is not going to stop his war in Gaza because 250 ugly people sleeping in tents at UCLA demand he do it. As a matter of fact, even if Joe Biden did cut off aid to Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu is still going to operate his war the way he wants. So much so that the International Criminal Court has just issued arrest warrants for Benjamin Netanyahu and Benny Gantz. Is it Benny Gantz? Did I get that right? Hold on. I want to make sure I got that right before I start mouthing off. His second in command. They've just issued arrest warrants for war crimes against the two of them. Netanyahu's going to see this thing through. He's got nothing to lose, politically or at this point, legally. Things are going to get worse before they get into, let me see. Bum, bum, bum. Is it here? No, it's not here. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. Yeah, but arrest warrants, they are in the process of issuing arrest warrants for Benjamin Netanyahu and many of the people in his wartime cabinet. He's going to keep this thing going, whether America funds it or not. What sort of impact will this have on global affairs moving forward? I don't know. I'm not sure, but I'm sure this will continue to play out. I'm sure this will continue to play out. But we're going to move on in a second because we got to talk about some domestic policies, because things are getting worse and worse for Joe Biden every single day. Before we get to that, guys, I want to talk to you about my friends over at AmmoSquared.com. AmmoSquared.com is an Idaho-based freedom-loving company started by husband and wife team Dan and Danielle Morton, in 2015. They are a pro-2A, pro-America, pro-Trump, and pro-personal freedom ammo company that helps you stay stockpiled up on ammo automatically. Your ammo grows slowly over time and is stored for free while it builds up and is shipped whenever you want it. Shipping comes in just 1 to 2 business days with over 30,000 loyal customers all over the country. Ammo Squared is truly the automated set it and forget it ammo purchasing. Just pick your caliber, set your budget, select a shipping trigger, and that's it. Your ammo builds up over time and is delivered automatically when you set it up. It is a very budget-friendly way to build up a good stockpile of ammunition. It is customizable, guys. You can buy as little as you want every month or as much as you want to make sure that you never fall short of ammunition. Like an ammo 401k or an ammo savings account that can help you smooth out rough spots and ammunition availability, like we saw in 2008, 2020, and in 2015, 2020. In fact, in 2020, when store shelves were empty and everybody was fumbling around for ammunition, Ammo Squared customers got their delivery almost immediately. So guys, head on over to AmmoSquared.com. That's AmmoSquared.com. Support the people who support this show. Go to AmmoSquared.com. So we've got a new CBS YouGov poll out of the state of Arizona, the hot state. of Arizona that shows Trump up 52-47 over Joe Biden. Trump still leads with third-party candidates in the mix, receiving 44 to Biden's 40% of the vote. Here, do we have this? Boom. Nope, we don't. A new poll out of Arizona has revealed that Donald Trump is leading Joe Biden by 5 points. The CBS News YouGov poll found 52% of registered voters in the state said they would vote for Trump, compared to 47% who said they would still vote for Biden. No correspondents said they would vote for third-party candidates, and none said they were unsure on who to pick. Of those who said they would vote for Trump, 66% said their support for the former president was very strong and that they have fully decided to pick in November. 22% said it was strong and that their selection probably won't change. 11% said they might change the selection, and 1% said, I'll probably change at some point. For Biden, 61% said they have made their decision for the election. 27% said they probably won't change their mind. 11% and 1% said they might change their mind. Trump is still in the lead with third-party candidates added into the mix, receiving 44% to Biden's 40%. An additional 5% said they would vote for Jill Stein. 5% said they would vote for another third-party candidate, and 5% said they were unsure. This was of 1,214 registered voters with a margin of error of 3.5. But that's not the only polling question I want to bring up over the course of the last couple of days. Friend of the club and staffer for Lee Stefanik, Alex DeGrasse, made a very interesting point. A very interesting point about the DCCC. Who is the DCCC? That is the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. Their job is to get people elected in the House of Representatives. This is not even something that I had considered. Here was Alex DeGrasse on with Steve Bannon.
That might not be a total loss. We might be able to win that seat, right?
We still can, yeah. Competitive. Yes. As well as in Alabama, frankly. We have a poll, which I'm happy to talk about here on the show, in Alabama, where we had to draw the African-American seat, where we've got a woman Republican candidate who's up by 1 point in a public poll. So everything is really in play. And I think we're going to go through the punch list of some of these top target seats. But everything, Biden 15, the interesting thing, I think the Hill didn't mention this, but the reality is, in the inside baseball game, when you look at these polls, the DCCC, which is the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, their task is flipping the House. Their task is House Democrats. They haven't put out a single poll ever that shows Joe Biden's numbers. That's how you know.
Stop. This is great. This is inside baseball. We're within 6 months of Election Day.
Yeah.
They have not put out a poll with his numbers because they realize the numbers are so bad.
Joe Biden is losing in every single battleground district across this country, or he's about tied in seats where he won by 15, even up to 20. We're seeing a total collapse of Joe Biden's support. They're panicking about it. You look at New York, it's the biggest example, and South Bronx is going to be absolutely
The rally we're going to have on this
amazing
week.
We're all going to be there
this Friday.
MAGA's coming out big.
MAGA's coming out big, baby. This Thursday, I cannot wait. Donald Trump coming to the South Bronx. Giddy up. The King of New York is coming home. Now, why are we seeing this? We're seeing this in sort of inside baseball. And I want to thank Alex for giving us that little bit of that little nugget that I hadn't even thought about. The people who are in charge of getting Democrats elected all throughout the country, they are not publicly releasing any polls. And I didn't realize it until Alex said that on War Room. But why not? It's because their internal poll numbers are so bad in many of these battleground districts that they don't want to release the numbers. See, CBS, YouGov, Harvard Harris, these are outside polling firms. But what a lot of people will do is, like the DCCC, they will do their own polling in particular districts to see how things are going for all of their candidates. And the fact that they haven't released a poll within 6 months of this election shows that their numbers are terrifying. They do not want the public to know just how badly Joe Biden is doing. And all I can say is, giddy up, everybody. Giddy up. Let's keep that pedal to the metal. Let's not stop. Let's also pop this live chat up on the screen. I want to see how is everybody doing today as we cross the 1,100 threshold. Are you going to it, Cal? You're damn right I'll be there. You're damn right I will be there in the South Bronx with the big guy. Let's pop that up on the screen. How's everybody doing today? I'm very happy. I hope they can't possibly nominate Joe after these disastrous polls. Well, we're going to get to that in 1 second, Bumblebee Patriot. We're going to get to that in 1 second because it turns out a major front-facing Democrat is calling on Joe Biden to be removed at the convention, spurring many more theories that he will be replaced. I still don't believe that he will, to be totally honest with you, but many cultural figures are coming out and saying things are not going as they were promised. Bob R., how are you? Irish, how are you? I don't know if Will's going. I'm not sure if Will's going. What time is the rally? I think it's at 6 o'clock. I believe it's at 6 o'clock. Let's see. R Star, how are you? Robin McGroin, how are you? Beer Man, how we doing? How are we doing? How are we doing? Hope everybody's having a lovely day. This beautiful spring day we've got here in the Northeast. Amy, how are you? Sagan, how are we doing? Daisy Duke, we appreciate you too. Once again, big shout out to everybody that came down to the Lindener Street Fair yesterday. Dina, Aaron, Irish was there. I got to meet a bunch of you guys. Tommy Girl was there. We were registering voters. We registered a couple dozen people in one day, guys. I got all the voter reg forms right over here. I got all the voter registration forms here. Guys, you can make a difference in your local community. And, you know, it's really funny, too. A lot of the elected officials were coming down to my booth. And they were like, what are you, you know, how, oh, Kev, how's it going? Oh, you, what are you doing? And I'm like, yeah, we're registering voters. Aren't you doing that? And they seemed very befuddled by this entire notion. That's how we gain votes. Because guess what? At that street fair, you know what I just did? By registering a couple, I think, what are we, like 30 people? Somewhere around 30. I just voted 30 times. That's what I just did by registering all of those voters. You guys can do that too. You guys can do that too. You can go to your local events. You can just walk around with a clipboard. I got away with my little clipboard right here. Boom. My little clipboard. I got all my voter reg cards. Walk around, register some people to vote, and that is how you vote twice, people. That's how you vote three times, because yesterday we basically voted 30 times. Basically. And I'm liking it. I'm liking it a lot. I dislike that Wisconsin has same-day voter registration. Yeah. Look, if you live in a state that doesn't, then it's up to you to do it beforehand. I agree. Let's keep on rocking and rolling, guys, because there are a number of reasons why Joe Biden is continuing to sink in the polls. We'll get to that in 1 minute. Before we do, guys, head on over to lfatv.us. That's lfatv.us. That is your home base. That is your mothership. That is your batter's box for all things LFATV related. You can pick up your Armor of God gear, your Rapture Ready stuff, those flannels Jeremy got, and your Rise Up coffee. While you are there, consider becoming a monthly donor over at lfatv.us. That's lfatv.us. That is the best way to support this channel and all things we've got going on. So head on over to loudmajorityusa.com. That's loudmajorityusa.com. Oh, no. God. Messed that up. lfatv.us. Sorry about that. lfatv.us. Sorry about that, Jeremy. My bad. So, one very prominent outspoken Democrat and one, I don't know what you would call this, girl, cultural figure or pop cultural figure coming out against Joe Biden. Bill Maher on Friday revived the push to remove Biden from the ticket, only debating Trump because he knows he is losing, said Bill Maher. And look, full disclosure, I'm a fan of Bill Maher's. I like his show. I know he's a radical liberal who lives in a fantasy land, but I've always liked Bill Maher. He's got Trump derangement syndrome, but I watch every week. I do. I really enjoy it. Every once in a while, Every once in a while, about 2 years after the fact, Bill Maher tends to come around the mountain. He may be coming around the mountain now on some cultural issues. Real-time host of Bill Maher sounding the alarm about President Biden's sudden push to debate, saying it means he knows he's losing. The HBO host also revived his push to swap Biden off the Democratic ticket, at one point wondering, is it too late to switch him out? To me, it says Biden knows he's losing, because otherwise he wouldn't have agreed, Maher said as he kicked off his panel discussion on Friday night. Only the loser wants to debate. Maher marveled at the idea of the summer debate, with the first one slated for June 27th, pointing out they haven't even had the convention yet. And that is very true. Well, they're not getting any younger, the Free Press reporter Nellie Bowles quipped. The HBO host then posed the question if, quote, any of this is going to make a difference to the election. Columnist Pamela Paul responded by saying that the debates are not going to be decisive, while Bowles suggested they might swing people. Maher responded with, well, I think the guy who has more to prove is Biden. Trump is a known commodity. They know he's going to be an asshole. He's going to be out there lurking and growling and not obeying the rules and everything else. And Biden, they want to see proof of life. Yeah, you're right. I'll go with that. Bill Maher obviously seeing if they could replace him on the ticket with, and look, it's not going to be Michelle Obama. I would bet a good amount of money if they do replace Joe Biden, it's going to be with Gavin Newsom. It's not going to be Michelle Obama, so everybody pump the brakes on that. No, Big Mike is not going to be running for president. Let's just be honest here. Let's just be honest here. One more radical member of the left who is pulling her support for Joe Biden, and I want to tell you why I think this matters. Now, I do not believe this person is a cultural... I don't think we should be taking our cues from this freak. However, Cardi B, oh yeah, good old Cardi B is saying that people have been lied to. And while she will not be endorsing former President Trump in the election, she has also come out and said that people were lied to by Joe Biden. Therefore, she's sitting this one out. Now, why does this matter? Why does this matter? Do I really think that Cardi B has some sort of serious cultural relevancy? I don't. I don't think she's a very smart person. I don't think that I don't think she has quite the political acumen. However, she does have millions and millions and tens of millions of followers across all of her platforms. That's why this is relevant. To see members of the left coming out and declares that there will be no endorsement for 2024, saying people got betrayed. Cardi B, known for her vulgar rap lyrics, who famously endorsed Joe Biden in 2020, has announced that she will not be voting for either presidential candidate this year. She joined a long list of Hollywood celebrities who will not be endorsing Joe Biden this coming election cycle. In a recent interview with Rolling Stone, the singer expressed her profound disappointment with the Biden regime and voiced her concerns about America's destructive role in internal affairs, saying, quote, I feel like people got betrayed. It's just like, damn, y'all not caring about anybody. Then it really gets me upset that there are solutions to it. There is a solution. I know there's a solution because you're spending billions of dollars on any fucking thing. Look, I would love to be able to decipher what that means, but, you know, she's not really speaking actual English here. With that being said, we've covered it. There is a long list of celebrities who have come out against endorsing Joe Biden. Imagine Democrats without Hollywood, totally behind them. Because, look, we've seen it before. George Clooney came out for Joe Biden. He's throwing a big fundraiser for him this week out on the West Coast. But there are a lot of cultural figures out there that are saying they've had enough of Joe Biden. Cardi B just being the newest one of them. Now, like I said, how many votes will that sway? I don't think her not endorsing Joe Biden brings any voters out. However, I think a lot of these people look up to these people, like Taylor Swift, like Cardi B, which I don't know why you'd look up to either of those people for different reasons. But there are some people out there that actually really, really, I don't know. I mean, if somebody, if someone of that sort of cultural relevance came out to endorse a presidential candidate, I hate to say this, but I think that it might have more of an impact than we like to think. So knowing that somebody with her sort of following is staying out of this whole thing is great news for you. It's great news for I. It's great news for us Trump supporters. So, Cardi B, feel free to stay the hell out of this. Tell all your friends to stay out of it. Keep your money. Don't donate to Democrats. Don't do that. Guys, in just a minute, we're going to be talking about commencement addresses as Joe Biden went to Morehead State and made a complete and utter ass out of himself. Made a complete ass out of himself. And we're going to be getting a very special commencement address from Clarence Thomas. Before that, Mike Lindell.
You're still looking good.
I'm still feeling good. You know, I've got all your MyPillow products. Mattress topper, bed sheets, MyPillows, towels, slippers, blankets, sleepwear, dog.
Whoa, Charles. Everyone now can get MyPillow products at huge discounts at MyPillow.com. That's right. Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to take advantage of our 3-in-1 sale. We're bringing you exciting new products, overstock specials, and closeout deals you won't find anywhere else. For example, when you buy one of our brand new MyPillow 2.0s, you get another one absolutely free. And with our overstock sale, you save 50% on our luxurious Giza Dream bed sheets. That's as low as $29.99 for the best sheets ever. And with our biggest closeout special, you get our all-season slippers for only $35. Or our sandals and slides for just $25. Quantities are limited, and once they're gone, they're gone.
Head on over to MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD. That's MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD. So over the course of the last couple of weeks, many of you may have had children, grandchildren, who are graduating from college. And all I want to say is congratulations. Some of you may have had a really awesome commencement speaker like Jerry Seinfeld. Some of you may have had a very poor one in Joe Biden, if your kid goes to Morehead State. Joe Biden made a speech at the NCAA. Joe Biden claimed he was the vice president during the pandemic and that Obama told him to go to Detroit and help. That was in one of the speeches he made over the weekend, courting black voters in numerous areas. We'll get to that in a second. But Joe Biden gave a speech at Morehead State, a historically black college. I believe it's in Georgia, where he said, he basically told all the black kids there that America hates you, in one of the most divisive speeches you can imagine. Many of the students turned their back on the president of the United States over his actions when it comes to Gaza. Imagine that. Young black men in college turning their back on a Democratic president. Guys, we got to keep moving. We got to keep going forward because things are getting better and better and better for our side of the world. If you didn't have a kid that had a commencement speech, if you didn't have a child who had a good commencement speaker, as a matter of fact, I think out here at Stony Brook College of Medicine, I think Anthony Fauci came and gave the speech. If you didn't have that, we're going to show you guys Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, decided he was going to put out his own commencement address for PragerU. That's Prager University, an online, it's really a YouTube channel that, you know, gives advice to young people and talks about conservative issues. Here was Clarence Thomas. I would urge all of you to show your children this. Clarence Thomas comes out and speaks about courage and why courage is so important. We'll be right back.
Class of 2024. It is an honor to address you. Though I completed my formal education many years ago, I think there are some things that endure despite the passage of time. Courage is one of those things. As Winston Churchill wrote almost a century ago, courage is rightly esteemed the first of human qualities because it is the quality which guarantees all others. In your young lives, you will face challenges, personal, professional, even spiritual, How will you deal with them? I encourage you to think of the people in your lives who have shown courage in the face of adversity and challenges. When I think of the people in my own life who demonstrated courage, I think first and foremost of my grandfather, the greatest man I've ever known. At the beginning of my career here in Washington, D.C., I sought his advice and counsel. It was during my first encounters with the onslaught of criticism and public attacks. I asked my grandfather how I should handle it. His words were as wise as they were pithy. Son, you have to stand up for what you believe in. Over the years, I have seen those who know what is right, but who are afraid to stand up when it will cost them. We all know it is right to stand up for a friend who's being bullied. But how many of us will choose to say nothing out of fear? It takes courage to do something despite the risk. No wonder my good friend Dennis Prager likes to say, courage is the rarest of human traits. Courage also comes into play as we deal with ourselves, with our problems or faults. It takes courage to be honest with ourselves. It is so much easier and convenient to blame our shortcomings or problems on someone or something else. It takes courage to be honest and to do as Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, live not by lies. Or put more positively, live a life of truth and honesty. From time to time, I have reflected on the people who were the most important in my own life and taught me much about courage. My grandparents are the first in my thoughts, but there are others. My nuns who taught me in school also had courage. They were honest to a fault and steadfast. These Irish immigrants had left their homeland and come to the segregated South to teach black children. And for this, they were often subjected to vitriol. It took courage to step into a classroom with 40 mostly poor black children and get them to learn and to believe that they could learn and that there was a reason to do so. One of these nuns, my eighth grade teacher, terrified me as a student, but became a very dear friend in my adult life. She passed away at the age of 100. I once asked her how she and her fellow nuns were able to get us to do so many difficult things. She said, without hesitation, because we lived with you and you knew we loved you. She never would have described herself as courageous, but she was. Throughout history, people have had to find those principles, beliefs, or people for whom they were willing to die, then in turn, for which and for whom they were willing to live. I think of those who fight our wars, respond to our emergencies, or who work difficult and taxing jobs to care for their families. In that vein, I also think of how my grandparents willingly sacrificed so that my brother and I could live and prosper. Without complaint, they found that quiet courage to take on a commitment that would consume the remainder of their lives and much of their quite modest resources. It is profoundly humbling to think of what they did and the constant courage it required. Is there anything for which you would go through that much difficulty? Do you have the will and the courage to prepare educationally, morally, and intellectually to address the myriad challenges that you will face? In this world of social media and shaming and other personal attacks, will you have the courage of your convictions to stand up for what you believe in? There are challenges coming your way. As I've so often had to do in my own life, I pray that each of you will have the wisdom to know what is right and the courage to do it. I'm Clarence Thomas, Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States for Prager University.
And, of course, that is Clarence Thomas, who speaks very infrequently, but when he does, it is always profound. I want to give a big shout-out to a friend of mine real quick as we talk about courage and doing the right thing for the right reasons. A big shout-out to a man named Ian Smith. Ian Smith is the owner of Attila's Gym in North Jersey. Some people may remember he was the gym owner who refused to close his gym during the COVID lockdowns. Well, it turns out that he stood up for a lot of owners of a lot of businesses who didn't feel the need, who didn't feel the courage or the ability to stand up for themselves. And for that, he paid a very dear price, both financially and in his business. Well, a New Jersey court has thrown out over 80 charges against the brave gym owner for defying Governor Murphy's tyrannical lockdowns. At which point, Ian Smith told Phil Murphy that he can just go ahead and suck his... Ian Smith, the owner of Attila's Gym in Belmar, New Jersey, has achieved a momentous victory. A New Jersey court has dismissed all charges against him that stemmed from his bold decision to reopen his gym in direct defiance of Governor Phil Murphy's tyrannical COVID-19 lockdowns. The saga began in May of 2020 when Smith reopened Attila's Gym, challenging Murphy's administrative mandates, which he and his supporters argued are unconstitutional and detrimental to small businesses. When confronted by the police, who forcefully arrested Smith, he continued to violate the unconstitutional lockdowns. Ian Smith, you are a true hero, my friend. I'm happy to call you a friend. Congratulations for having all of your charges dropped. And you know what, Governor Murphy? Von Abla, as we say here in, as we say. Guys, I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. Make sure you stay tuned for Matter of Fact coming up next here on this network. If you guys are liking this one, We the People Are Pissed Off, you can get it at loudmajorityusa.com. That's loudmajorityusa.com. Use promo code SPRING to get 30% off everything on the website. That's promo code SPRING. Guys, thank you all so much for tuning in. Until tomorrow, everybody, stay loud.